Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be taking a little break from our study in Corinthians. I have just found that there's a lot of effort to the preparations for some of the topics that relate to the passages in Corinthians, and I just need to take a break from that right now. And I'm going to a study in Thessalonians, which I've done in the past, to give a little break with a number of things on our plate right now. But I wanted to do a little series from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. And verses 12 through 15, and the series is on caring for one another. Really, it does relate to 1 Corinthians 13, and my goal was to spend quite a bit of time just outlining the qualities of love that are expressed there. And that should be reflected in our lives as we love one another in the body of Christ. Well, caring for one another is another expression of that love. And we see these exhortations in 1 Thessalonians 5 that reflect the love that Christ calls us to as members of his body. So in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at these exhortations. 1 Thessalonians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He has just finished speaking about the return of Christ in the early part of chapter 5. And with a call to watchfulness and soberness as we await that event of Christ's return. And in verses 12 to 15, we have this series of exhortations that, as I mentioned, relate to the care of one another in the body of Christ. The first of those exhortations relates to the care of leaders in the church, and more specifically to elders in the church. Before writing this letter, Paul heard from Timothy. And Timothy gave a detailed report of the life of the church in Thessalonica. His report was generally favorable. However, there were some concerns mentioned, and one area seemed to have to do with that of respect for leaders, particularly elders. There's a hint of that, a hint that some are resisting instruction in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. And I'll just read that briefly. He who rejects this, Paul says, is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. It seems that there were some resisting the counsel of the leaders, of the apostles. And so he's exhorting them. And so in these final exhortations, Paul also counsels the saints concerning their attitude to elders in the church. And that's what we'll be focusing on this morning. But let me just read from God's Word, verses 12 through 15. And again, we'll be focusing on verses 12 and 13 in our study. Give attention to God's Word. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. A number of years ago, there was an article in the Christian periodical, the Council of Chalcedon. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. The article was entitled, "Have You Hugged Your Elder Today?" And those of us who come from Scottish roots get a little uncomfortable when you talk about hugging. Now, we can deal with the holy handshake, but the hugging maybe is a little outside of our comfort zone for some of us. And yet the article was entitled, "Have You Hugged Your Elder Today?" And the point of the article was that many books have been written on the subject of the elder's care for the flock or the church. But not very much has been offered concerning the members' care of the elders. Well, as a congregation, I want to say at the outset that you have shown much love to your elders in this church, and we have greatly valued and appreciated your support for us. However, it's important that we consider the exhortations that God gives in His Word regarding the care of elders. And we could say leaders in general, and certainly deacons and elders are in need of the care of the flock. The context of this passage is speaking more specifically to that of elders. But it's one of the ways that we reflect the love of Christ by caring for one another in His church. How are you to care for your elders? Have you thought about answering that question? How are you to care for your elders? Well, I want you to notice three things that we have here, three exhortations in this passage this morning. And the first exhortation is that you are to appreciate them. Appreciate them. Verse 12 says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction." What does Paul mean by appreciate? Well, it's a word that commonly means know in the Greek. Here it means pay proper respect to. The call is to realize the value of your elders. Consider their worth as you also reflect upon the nature of their work. Many tensions are eliminated in the church if the function of elders and leaders is understood properly. So Paul seeks to remove these tensions by instructing the Thessalonians concerning the work of elders in the church. And he highlights three functions here as he gives this exhortation to appreciate. The first function is that they diligently labor among God's people. The word to labor means to toil or strenuously labor to the point of weariness. Working hard to the point of becoming exhausted is the idea. And what does that work include? Well, the shepherds of the flock of Christ are to know the flock. And that requires visitation and interaction. They must also lead the flock by modeling Christ. They must also feed the flock through faithful instruction. They must guard the sheep from error and from sin. And they must also watch over themselves. Paul sums up the charge that elders have in Acts 20, verse 28, as he was speaking to the Ephesian elders there. We read, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." That's a weighty calling that has been given to your elders. The RPC Directory for Church Government gives a list of responsibilities that developed these general principles, and I'm not going to read that for you this morning, but you might go there and just look through those responsibilities that your elders have as they diligently labor on your behalf. It's a tall order. And in fact, it is impossible for us to accomplish apart from the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. We don't do it perfectly. We confess. But your elders willingly and gladly offer themselves for your service at any time of the day or night. We're regularly offering up prayer to God on your behalf. And at times this is wearying labor, but it is labor that is joyfully performed for Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for the benefit and the sake of you, His saints. So diligent labor. But secondly, they have a charge over you in the Lord. That word charge literally means standing before. And it conveys the idea to be the head, or to direct, or to rule. And so as shepherds of the flock, we are to provide spiritual guidance and governance for the flock. It's part of our obligation as elders. And it's authority that we haven't taken by ourselves or from ourselves, but it has come from Christ. Christ is the one who gives that and delegates that authority to His church. It's also authority that has been recognized by you, His church, as you called us to serve in this office. You recognize the qualities of the office in each of your elders, and you voice that through your vote at the congregational meeting. Jesus placed that call also on the hearts of your elders so that we were led to accept that call of the congregation. And we were set apart for that service through ordination and installation in this congregation. This authority is given by Christ, and it must be carried out in accordance with His Word. We talked about the importance of the Scriptures in our study this morning in the Westminster Confession and how that's foundational to everything we do and everything we believe in the church. And so the counsel and direction of elders must be based upon the Word of God, or it does not bear the authority of Christ. That's a great responsibility, and it's one for which we ask your prayers, that God will give us increasing knowledge of His Word and the wisdom to apply it in the life of the church. But as your elders faithfully carry out their task of ruling, you are to submit to their leadership and their care. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So they have charge over you and the Lord. And then thirdly, the third task is that God-ordained leaders are to admonish, Paul says. That word for instruction in the text there in the NASB translation can also be translated admonish. And it's the Greek word from which we get the idea of biblical counseling. Noutheteo in the Greek. Sometimes you've heard the phrase or the type of counseling, nouthetic counseling. It's a type of biblically based counseling. And so the word admonish literally means to put in mind. It's the act of reminding someone what he has forgotten. It's bringing to the attention of a brother or sister an area in which he is failing to follow Christ, of which he is apparently unaware or perhaps unconcerned. It refers to the work of instructing, warning, cautioning, gently reproving, and exhorting. It's probably one of the most difficult tasks that your elders have to perform as under-shepherds. And yet it is so necessary for the protection and for the building up of the flock. The goal of admonition is your sanctification and the restoration to usefulness of the members of the body of Christ. It's part of that work of equipping the saints for works of service to the building up of the body of Christ, as Ephesians 4:11-12 talks about. And the thing to remember is that should an elder come to admonish you, it is because you are loved. You are loved by that elder. He yearns for Christ to be honored in your life. He desires for you to experience the full blessing of obedient Christian service. It's for your benefit that he comes to you. In fact, he's promised to respect that admonition. Query number 4 in our covenant of communicant membership says, in case you should need correction in doctrine or life, do you promise to respect the authority and discipline of the church? And so yield to admonition, the admonition of your elders. It's for your good that they come to you. And as you consider these three functions, give thanks to the Lord for the labors of your elders. Appreciate them as you already do. And yet excel still more in that appreciation. Secondly, we see that you are to esteem your leaders, your elders. Verse 13 says, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Esteem is a word similar to appreciate in verse 12. In its most basic sense, it means to think or to consider or to regard. It means to give careful consideration to someone. And since it is linked with that previous verb, appreciate, it suggests, it suggests high regard or esteem. Two phrases amplify the meaning of this esteem. The first one that Paul uses is very highly. This word is one that is overflowing with meaning. It means beyond all measure or abundantly out of all bounds is the idea of very highly. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that you're supposed to put your elders up on some kind of pedestal and bow down to them. That's not what Paul is talking about. They are fellow saints. We're fellow saints who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have been called to serve Christ and His church, and we labor together in that ministry that we've been given by Christ. So what Paul is calling for here is showing honor to those servants Jesus Christ has commissioned to watch over His church. Let me just suggest some ways that you might show this honor. You can show your respect by asking for their counsel on decisions which you are facing. Whether it's the purchase of a house, whether it's a job change, whether it's a family concern, ask your elder for his input and for prayer. This will show that you respect his wisdom. Honor your elders by cultivating a relationship with them. It's hard for your elders to always be reaching out to you. Reach out to your elders. Show concern for their lives and for their families. Show them that you want them to be a part of your life. Have them into your home for a meal. Many ways that you can do that. And I know that you are doing that. And then a third way, honor them by heeding their exhortations. The Apostle John writes in 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. More than anything else, your elders will be encouraged when they see you growing in Christlikeness. When we see your progress in the faith, when we see you growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes all of the effort worthwhile when we see the people of God growing up in Him. Heed their exhortations. So esteem them highly, but also esteem them in love. In Colossians 3:14, we have this general exhortation. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. See, if we as elders fail to carry out our tasks in love, we will not be effective, nor will Christ be honored. And if you fail to esteem your elders in love, then your elders will become discouraged and frustrated in the work which they have been called to do. Love is important. It's central, both in the ministry of your leaders and in your service as members of the body. Your leaders are not performing their tasks for monetary gain or for personal glory. We labor out of love for our Lord Jesus Christ and out of love for you, His redeemed people. And so let me encourage you to show your love for your elders by welcoming them into your home when they come to visit you. And you do that. But also by acknowledging their faithful service and by praying for them regularly. We value your prayers and we appreciate them and need them greatly. In Hebrews 13, verse 18, we read, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. We need your prayers. I know, speaking from personal experience, that we're painfully aware of our weakness, that we are sinful men, that we have not yet been completely sanctified. And we wonder sometimes how we can ever be effective for Christ in this calling that we have received. But what an encouragement it is for us to hear members of the body petitioning the Lord on our behalf when we come together for our prayer meetings. That warms our hearts. For when they come alongside of us, when you come alongside of us and say, I want you to know that I've been praying for you regularly. Is there anything specifically that you'd like prayer for? What a tremendous encouragement that is. There are a multitude of ways to express your love, but it's so critical for the function of the church. It is the perfect bond of unity It's that tie that binds the church together, the love of Jesus Christ. So esteem your elders very highly in love. And why is that? Paul says, because of their work. Not merely because they hold a divinely appointed office, but because they are laboring on your behalf. This is the proper response to the good work that they are doing. And this is a great challenge to us as elders as well. We must ask ourselves, does the flock see us sacrificing for their well-being? Are we lovable? Are we keeping in touch with those who are under our care? And so we are challenged as well by this exhortation. It's a superhuman task. And how important it is for you to esteem the faithful work of your elders and to do all that you can to support them and to lift us up in prayer. So esteem them. But then the final exhortation is to live in peace with one another. What is this peace? Well, living in peace refers to a state of concord and to harmony. That's what's being spoken of. It's the opposite of conflict and war, if you will. Peace stands in contrast to strife. And so Paul is conveying the idea of the absence of or the end of strife. When God's people are living at peace, the implication is that there's spiritual health, that there's vitality, that God's blessing is being poured out upon His church. That's the idea behind the Hebrew word shalom. Peace is one of the qualities of a spirit-filled life. Born-again Christians should be growing in the promotion of peace in the church. We're called to be peacemakers. We're called to seek peace and pursue it. So rightly caring for leaders will promote peace in the church. See, the saints at Thessalonica were to submit to their leadership, to their elders, so that peace prevailed. Instead of causing divisions and disorder by insubordination or by carping at the elders that were over them, they were called to submit to them in love and to promote peace. And that's true today in the church. Members, don't criticize or complain about your leaders. Come to us with your concerns, and we will hear those concerns. But don't backbite or criticize. That leads to strife. It undermines peace within the body. And we as elders are also to promote peace in the way that we lead. We are not to lord it over the flock, 1 Peter 5 tells us. We're not to serve grudgingly or for material gain. As Christians, we are to live in peace with one another, Paul says. Peter also emphasizes this in his epistle, 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. It's a quotation, by the way, of Psalm 34. We read, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." There it is. Live in peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Another passage, Colossians 3:15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." That idea of rule means to be the umpire. Paul was thinking in terms of the Greek games and those who were officials in those Greek games. And he's saying, let peace be the umpire. Let peace govern the way that you speak, the way that you live, the way that you function in the body of Christ. More than anything else, a commitment to pursue peace will encourage your elders. It will bless us and encourage us as we labor on your behalf. So we are called as a body of Christ to care for one another. And that also includes care for leaders. Paul is giving us here a prescription for peace. And it involves maintaining a proper attitude towards your leaders. Appreciate those who labor hard, who rule over, and who instruct you. Esteem them very highly and in love because of the good work that they do. And this will be a blessing to you and to them. And it will bring honor to Jesus Christ as His church is built up and extended. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love that You have lavished upon us, for the ministry of reconciliation by which You have brought us, sinners in rebellion against You, into fellowship with You, and so that there is peace now with You through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that that peace would be continually reflected in our relationships with one another in the body of Christ. I thank You for the evidence of Your love in this body of Your people, and for the evidence of the peace that You are promoting and establishing among Your people. And I thank You for the concern and the care that is extended to the leaders of this body by Your people here. Father, I pray that that love and that peace would even excel still more, that Christ would be glorified, that Your church would be extended, that Your people would be edified and built up. Father, I pray this morning especially for the elders and the deacons of this body, that You would be sustaining us in this great task that is often overwhelming and wearying, that we would maintain our joy in these labors and our courage and our love, and that You would enable us to be wise and discerning as we seek to apply the truths of Your word for Your glory and the blessing of Your flock. Father, we thank You that You, Lord Jesus, are building Your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that is where our confidence rests. We pray in Your name. Amen.